Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good, what is it, Thursday? Yes, good Thursday morning. Mets and Yankees both win. The Islanders win, so we've got some happy sports fans out there. I was chuckling. I don't know how the conversation started about song lyrics, but
yeah.
You guys talking innocently about song lyrics and then thinking about the biggest hit out there right now and the lyrics that have to do with that song.
Which one?
WAP. Jerry, good morning. How are you,
by the way? I'm good, man. How are you? This is not a Dua Lipa song?
No. I love Dua Lipa. I'm a big Dua Lipa fan. I think she's very classy. I think she's got a great voice. She's got great songs. I'm talking about the Cardi B Megan Thee Stallion song, WAP, Jerry, that we brought up on the show a couple days ago that's been the big hit out there that you can't play on the radio because the lyrics are so intense and so over the top. So they had to change the entire chorus just to be able to play it. So instead of what WAP stands for, they go with wet and gushy instead. So that's now what the kids are growing up on. Instead of American Pie, and this references the Beatles, and it's the Rolling Stones, and this, what does this mean? And, oh, man, the deep lyrics that are out there. And Leonard Cohen, and all these folk artists that were out there with these Bob Dylan lyrics. Now we've got macaroni in a pot, wet and gushy. That's what we've got going on out there. So it doesn't bother me so much. I'm not one of these like super prudes. I know that Al disagrees with that stuff, but it's just funny, man. Like how you, depending on who you are, when you grew up, what was the song of your time? You know, I mean, for me, you know, it was the grunge era rock.
Me too.
You know, there was stuff like that. And now there's young kids that are growing up on wet and gushy. Yes.
Oh my God.
A little different than Billy, Don't Be a Hero.
Yeah. I love the fact that this is the first time that you're seeing this. Like, I wish I could be around for everybody's first viewing of those lyrics.
I really Jerry's screen was frozen because he was just in shock and not moving.
No, yeah. I'm with Greg. Like, I don't get offended. I don't really care. I mean, it's whatever. They're fine. They're lyrics. And what's happened with the Spotify era for me now is a lot of times I'll go and I'll download songs to the phone that are not radio edits. And you don't realize, even like a band like Maroon 5, how many songs of theirs that you hear on the radio, you don't think anything of it. And then you download a whole bunch of, like, I have like 22 Maroon 5 songs on my Spotify. And how many of them are not exactly clean? And you're like, whoa, where'd that come from? So this might be, and I don't know if I know this song on the radio or not, because I don't listen to those types of stations.
It just came out. You probably have not heard it on the radio.
So let's say I put this one on my Spotify because I heard it on the radio, which would have been a clean version. This would have been jarring to hear. Nothing wrong with it.
By the way, just reading these lyrics, how do they make this a clean version?
I have no idea.
Like, well, I understand the chorus part, but all these other things.
Well, they just bleep it out. It's just dropped.
But the whole
out.
Song's like, a bleep then.
Yeah, well, it's, if you go and you watch the YouTube video, because that was the other part of this when the music video came out, that was a big thing because Kylie Jenner was in it, so everybody was freaking out about that. So if you watch that, it's the clean version, and it just drops out constantly.
It has to. I mean, I'm looking at what Al's talking about. I said certified freak 7 days a week. Bleep, bleep, make that bleep, bleep, week two. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you bleep with some bleep. Bring a bucket and bleep, bleep, bleep. Yeah. Give me everything you got for the bleep. Wow.
I mean, even like the clean, even the clean words are suggested.
Yes.
Like, isn't there a, you know, park your car in the garage line in there too?
Yes,
like,
there
even
is.
The clean words
yes, there
are
is.
Stuff that reference sexual things. Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those things that even if you are used to the most vulgar things ever, hearing the song is actually, it'll stop you in your tracks.
I'm sure it will.
Oh, it'll stop you in your tracks.
There's even a line about a diabetic. What the hell?
Now I'm interested.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I'm glad that I introduced you to that. Yeah, I mean, my wife and I, we are people who are, you know, not really, I don't know, easily offended or anything like that. And when it first came out, I said, did you hear this? And we sat there and we listened to it together and we're just like half mouths dropped wide open, half laughing, half like totally appalled. And then we were like, you know, who knows what's going to be the popular song when Sabrina's like 13 or 14. I thought about that.
This might be Tame.
Yeah, it may be. Or maybe like things go back. You know, maybe we've gone so far that it goes back.
I don't think
to,
so.
To poppy stuff, you know, and like the most, I guess, pushing the line type of artist would have been Britney Spears in her Catholic school outfit on MTV. Maybe that's what we'll go, you know, back to. Who knows? I don't know. I'm hoping so.
Better hope Taylor Swift is still popular.
Give me some hope, will you?
She'll still be writing about breakups and boyfriends, you know, in
well,
10
hell,
years.
I mean, in what, 10 years, 12 years from now? Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion are still going to be young. They might put out WAP2.
You never
at
know.
At that point, this might be a classic.
You're right, because they can't be, what, in more than mid to late 20s, right?
Yeah, right.
So another 10 years, if you think they're still going, I mean, good Lord, Madonna's still putting out music, and she's 63. She got a long way to go before she's done. WAP.
Yeah, there you go, WAP. Anyway, so how do you feel about Aaron Judge this morning? Yesterday, we were talking about how it was ridiculous to pull him out of the game. I didn't
now
have as much of a problem.
Now we know why they pulled him out of the game.
And now we know. Lower body tightness. Now, what do you believe? Because the whole I wanted to prevent an injury thing, that is interesting to me. Because this is what Aaron Boone said. He said, I wanted to prevent an injury. Now, I've never really heard a manager say that. We know that in blowouts, they'll pull out stars and all sorts of sports, and that's what it's like, why keep this guy in? There's no point. And I understand that, and that's sort of, it's an unsaid thing. I want it to prevent an injury. When you see a manager, actually hear a manager say that, you know, is that really a mentality change now with the New York Yankees? Because all the injuries that they had, that like the second any guy feels any sort of discomfort, that boom, you're out and let's try to figure this out because we need to prevent an injury because we need to react differently than we did last year because it was a disaster with injuries? Or are they trying to quiet down what could be another death blow to them because Aaron Judge really is not feeling right, and this is one of those things where it gets pulled out of a game, misses a game, and then all of a sudden he's gone for 2 months.
It's very possible. I don't know, 2 months, but if you told me he doesn't play till next week or sometime late next week, I wouldn't be surprised. And here's the quote that I read from Boone today in the New York Post. He was asked, so he says, lower body tightness. You know, that's why he wasn't playing.
Yeah.
Well, asked what that means exactly. Here's the quote from Boone. All over the lower body where he is dealing with some rigors, the hips and down into the hamstrings and calves. I mean, come on. We can't be more specific than that. And if that's the case, then they've got a bigger problem than they're even letting on to. Because if he's hurting from the calves to the hips
to the, hips.
To the hamstring, I, good Lord. I mean, because yeah. If you tell me hips down to the hamstring, that's everything.
Right. I don't even know how a man, just like Giancarlo Stanton, I don't understand how a man that young and that in shape could play this few a game. Like, actually, the Giancarlo Stanton injury makes more sense to me than this, because you pull a muscle. People pull muscles all the time. It happens. It happens to people who are in shape, out of shape. The nature of baseball, when you run and you stop and you run again, it could happen. Giancarlo Stanton is prone to that. For Aaron Judge to play, you know, X amount of games here and then have his entire lower body be tight from his hips to his calves to everything else. And plus, he's been playing his ass off. He's been great.
Yeah, leads the majors in home runs.
Right. It's not like he's been hampered at all by these injuries. It's just, It's really confusing, and I hope it's precautionary. But the problem is now, because of what has happened with the Yankees last year and now this year with Stanton, all the injuries that they dealt with over the last calendar year plus, is that any time that you hear this stuff, that no matter what the manager says, it's going to be blown out of proportion when it comes to Stanton and Judge. There's nothing he could say. I mean, look at yesterday. We had a whole conversation when he said, oh, it was just precautionary. We pulled him out of the game. We had some leverage in the game, and he was on the turf, and I just wanted to make sure. Okay, well, that was a big deal because he came out of a game that seemingly he would have stayed in under normal circumstances. And then the next day he comes back, and he's not in the lineup, and he's given us this. It's like, Jesus, what is going on?
Right, which is it?
What is it? What are we doing? So it's really a lose-lose for Aaron Boone, because no matter what he says in regards to Judge and Stanton, people are going to freak, especially Aaron Judge with the way he's playing.
You're just not going to believe him anymore because, yeah. I mean, this is proof positive right here that taking him out of that game was not the reason that they gave. Just saying, well, you know, we got a lot of games coming up, and if I could give him a couple innings off his feet, no, not when he can't play the next day. That tells me that he probably went in, told the manager, yeah, something's not feeling quite right. All right, get him out. I understand that. And if they would have just said that, it would have made more sense than what they did. That having been said, when you say the entire part of your lower body is tight, let me ask you this. And this goes back to the conversation we had yesterday. If it was 50 years ago, does the player even say anything or does he just battle through? And then to that point, you know, when you talk about just tightness in a different part of your body, that's not a pull. Is that just, I don't know, is he working a different muscle or muscle groups that he otherwise didn't? Like when you got on the Peloton for the first time.
Sure.
I would think the next day or the day after, or maybe 2 days after, your legs were a little bit sore.
Yeah, naturally.
And probably tight.
Right.
Did you just shut it down or did you get back on the bike and work it out?
No, I went back and I did it again, of course, and I was doing it every day, but I'm not doing it at all now.
Let's say you were making $50 million a year riding that bike, and you had a bike coach. Well, would he shut you down for a few days? It's the same type of deal.
Right. I do. That popped into my mind yesterday, that conversation we had about, you know, would this have happened all these years ago? And my first instinct was absolutely not. It wouldn't have happened, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago. Lower body tightness. So is this one of those things that, you know, just because Aaron Judge has been injury prone, they're going to be even more extra careful with him? Or are they hiding an injury? That's the thing we're going to find out in the next couple of days. But it did provide that opportunity for Clint Frazier. And I got to give him a ton of credit because, I mean, think about this. This is a guy who's been back and forth and back and forth and should have been starting on if it was any other team in the major leagues, he would have been starting. He acted a little bit like a baby during these times. We know that. Remember, he didn't report to spring to a minor league camp right away, that when he got sent down and he had like X amount of time to be there, and that was a whole thing. But to run your mouth, say you belong, be a guy who has had a chip on your shoulder, and then, you know, your first real opportunity this year to do what he did last night, I thought was very, very impressive. And he's just one of those guys that, you know, when he makes contact, he looks like he belongs in the major leagues. He's got that bat speed that reminds me of, even though it's different because he's always got two hands on the bat and not really letting go like Alfonso Soriano did, but the way the ball jumps off his bat is just different. So good for him, because he was a young guy who was dealing with a lot of stuff. He got crushed by a lot of Yankee fans. Even in the beginning, that whole Susan Waldman thing when he asked for number 7 or whatever it was,
sure,
and people were killing him for that. I mean, he's really weathered the storm here. This is one game, I understand, but I mean, that's not an easy spot to come up when you're the guy who said, I belong, I belong, I belong. Okay, here you go. Here's another opportunity. And at least early returns, he looked absolutely great. I hope he sticks. I hope there's a space for him on this team. I know it's difficult, but, you know, and all those, like, phantom Met Yankee trade fakakta calls that we would get all the time from people. Like, the only guy I ever said that I was like, you know what, the guy that I would take right away 100%, even with his defensive liability that's there, is Clint Frazier. I think this guy could be a star if he could play every single day.
Really backed up his words last night. And the home run, you know, to your point about the bat speed and the ball jumping off his bat, I mean, that thing was just a seed that he hits to left field, hits the home run, and then the double. I mean, he was a triple shy of the cycle. I mean, that's a hell of a night. And not to get off Frazier, but based with him and LeMahieu, what they did.
Yeah.
I mean, the two of them, it just looks like every time they come up, and I say every time because we've seen Frazier before, and he's been really good in spurts. It's just a matter of seeing him more on a consistent basis. We've now seen LeMahieu for a long time here. The guy is one of the best hitters I have ever seen on a day-to-day basis. He is that good. And, you know, he had 4 more hits last night. He can put the ball, it seems like, wherever he wants. You know, yeah. You want to put it outside corner? Fine, I'll take it to right field. You want to drive to pound me in? I'll take it to the left. He's a pleasure to watch. He really is. And the Yankees, you know, they got a good deal when they signed him. And he is, Boomer always talks about outperforming your contract. This guy's outperforming his contract on a daily basis. So while the Yankees might be banged up because Stanton's out, and while the Yankees might be banged up because of what's going on with Aaron Judge, who knows what that'll lead to or won't lead to. Depth. I mean, they've got it. They've got it. They dealt with it last year. They got through it last year, and this team in a shortened season will get through it again this year. They just will.
Yeah, and offensively, it was a night that Met fans had wanted for a very long time, so you got that. They exploded. You saw everything you wanted to see. Conforto and Alonso and Nimmo and Dom Smith, and everybody was contributing. So for a night, it was fun. Do I think it'll continue? Probably not. They got too many flaws. I also feel like they're in a state of flux right now. So it's sort of funny because we were just talking about when we thought, and I probably am going to be way off on my prediction, but Boomer had asked all of us when we think this sale was going to go through because we hadn't heard anything about it for weeks.
Right.
And there was some news coming in the last couple of days. We talked about how the Mets are not going to break even for the next 5 years or something crazy like that, and they lose $90 million a year or something stupid, whatever it was. And that was out there. And then you also saw that, you know, final bids are going to come in towards the end of August. The finances are in a situation as such that this thing has to be expedited, and you might see a sale, you know, happen right after the season, and then all of a sudden, all bets are off. So now, like, when I'm thinking about the Mets and the future of the Mets, of course, the core is going to be there of those guys, but I don't think Brody's going to be around. Luis Rojas, I would be shocked if he stuck around as the manager. You know, if it's Steve Cohen, he's going to go out and at least make a splash somewhere in free agency. It can't be Mookie Betts now, but maybe it's JT Realmuto, which would be awesome for the Mets to have a real legitimate catcher for the first time in a very long time who's actually in his prime as opposed to someone off the scrap heap. So, you know, this team, as it stands right now with this ownership thing looming over them and all these sort of failures that we've seen, whether it's fair or not to judge Brody Van Wagenen with the injuries of guys that he's brought in. But, you know, this team's going to look a hell of a lot different come this time next year. I mean, it could be completely unrecognizable from an organizational standpoint. It will be. It'll be new owner, new GM, new manager. How do you go through a season with that hanging over your head? And I mean, there's no way if any new owner's keeping Brody, unfortunately. I mean, and this whole thing, I wonder how he's going to look back on his tenure as Met GM and dipping his toes in the water. But it just feels like this team is ready to take that weird step into new ownership that hopefully ends up being the greatest thing in the world for Mets
fans.
Well,
but there's a couple of things there. So, let's assume for a moment that it is Steve Cohen. And I know that's an assumption we shouldn't make because we don't even know if he would get approved if, in fact, the Will Pons took his offer. But let's assume for the moment, since he's got the most money, that is Cohen. You know, what is the relationship with Brody? You know, what if, I mean, he is a minority, very small, but he is a minority owner at the moment, so he is around the ballpark. I would like to think he knows Brody. Is Van Wagenen the type that could sit there and sell him on, listen, if you open the books up, I got relationships all over the place. I'll get guys in here. You know, this is what I did with the budget I was given. Yeah. So I'm not going to take that leap just yet that say he's gone. I don't know that because I don't know the relationship, assuming there is one. That having been said, there's also still another 42 games to go. I think guys are playing for next year and beyond. Guys are playing for their lives here. And, you know, until this team completely dies, they're 8-11. It hasn't been great. There's no question about it. I'm concerned mostly about the pitching more so than I am the hitting. And I know the hitting has been an issue to start the season. I get it. Last night we saw, and I don't expect 11 runs every night, but more of a representative offensive team than what they have been. So, you know what? There's still a lot of time to go in a shortened season. This story's not written yet, but I'm not so sure that Brody Van Wagenen is out the door just because of the sale of the Mets is around the corner. I don't know that yet.
problem is just every move, for one reason or another, and it's not all his fault, but has just panned out horribly, it seems like. You know, I mean, you think about the Robinson Cano Edwin Diaz deal, that's at the top of the list. Jed Lowry is right there.
Yep.
The Marcus Stroman deal is right there. I mean, everything. I mean, I shouldn't say everything.
You got J.D. Davis.
J.D. Davis, fine. You want to say that Wilson Ramos has
been okay.
Serviceable?
Yeah, he's been fine.
Okay. But you got three massive.
The Grom contract is good.
Yeah, that certainly is. That certainly is. That was genius at that point, really, looking back on it.
And you're not wrong. I mean, everything you say is absolutely right. And, you know, Kelenic, however you pronounce his name, you know, I know they're expecting huge things from him. He still has to do it, you know, until that happens. And Robinson Cano, for as bad as he has been, and he was bad, good at the end of last year. I mean, you know, he did start to come around before the injury. We'll right. see. You know, it's never going to be. If that kid turns out to be a Hall of Fame or even just a damn good player, and I forget Hall of Fame, just a damn good major leaguer, you're right. It's going to look bad because Diaz, you know, the other thing about that deal, which, you know, sometimes we forget because we talk about Cano, is Diaz was supposed to be the lockdown closer.
Yeah.
That everybody, their brother, sister, and mother that saw him in Seattle was like, right. boy, the Mets, well, they really got this kid. Who knew that he was going to be the way he is? So you're right. Sure. You're not wrong. He made some deals that have not worked out, a couple that have, and, you know, we'll see going forward. But I'm not closing the book on it just yet.
It's also, though, it doesn't even really matter at this point. It makes it worse if Jared Kelenic turns out to be a perennial all-star. But you got to remember, it's what you got for the asset at the time. You know, so if he would have traded away Jared Kelenic and brought in two guys that helped them go to the playoffs in multiple years and then go to an NLCS and a World Series, then you wouldn't even care.
But that's what they were supposed to get. Think of how many games they lost in the bullpen and how many games Diaz blew last year. That was why the move was made.
I know.
And he sucked.
It's panned out horribly. So the thing is, it's just like, it's what you got. But a lot of people hated the Cano thing.
Yes, I know.
And it was sort of tempered by Edwin Diaz, but nobody wanted Robinson Cano on the team with that salary and that history and his age.
Let me ask you this, and it's revisionist history, but if Edwin Diaz is 90% of what he was in Seattle last year, I really think we think a little differently of it. The problem was Cano aged very quickly before he actually turned it on in the second half of the season. So he got off. Like, to me, if Diaz was good and Cano was the player in the first half that he was in the second and then fell off, I think we think differently of it. The problem was Diaz was bad and Cano started out horrifically. Yeah. Like, there was nothing good about it in April, May, and June. So the whole thing's terrible.
And everybody that brought up another old former great second baseman on the Mets, you know, Baerga, Robbie Alomar, and now Ed Robinson Cano, everybody was saying that before he even took the field in the Mets uniform, and it's panned out exactly like that.
For the most part.
All right, Boomer and Geo with Jerry in for Boomer this morning on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.